morning. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. And the whole congregation said this. Amen. Well, I know it's been a busy week for all of you, as it has been for us. Let me just once again say congratulations to all of the graduates, whether that has been from 8th grade or high school or college, and maybe there's some who are still waiting for that event to happen. I know there's a lot down in South Texas that are probably in that particular situation, waiting on a dry spot to be able to have a graduation day. It's always a great privilege to go to those kind of events and just be encouraged by the young people who are going on in the greater things. Well, it's always a privilege for us to be together. I always look forward to us having our time together. I think about all of the great improvements that we've had, especially electronically. I look down here at the monitors, and they're able to let me know in case I get off track where I'm supposed to go next. Now, that doesn't always work. Sometimes in the back, they haven't switched to the next one, and I've forgotten where I'm supposed to go. I'm not supposed to tell those secrets in my way. But technology doesn't do it all, I guess. That's all I'm saying. I remember some years ago that when taping sermons became a very big thing, I began taping my sermons at a particular place, and we all thought it was grand. We always made sure that the young families had plenty of my tapes so the children could sleep during the day. They could play those things to them, and they'd go sound asleep. It seemed to work for them well. But I had one lady that ran up to me out in the foyer one day, and she was an elderly lady, and her husband had had a stroke several years ago, and he was in a nursing home. He wasn't in his right place, and she said, "Oh, Brother Payne, I cannot tell you how much George loves to listen to your sermon since he lost his mind." You know, those true things are always the best. They always put you back in the right perspective of things. So if you get to thinking too highly of yourself, why, you can remember that there's a little humor in some of those kind of things that happen. I don't know. I may not be the only person that has ever felt a little inadequate. You know, preachers, I know that they try to appear as though they're very confident when they're up, and I suppose we are to some degree, but we have our little, shall I say, bouts with nervousness or whatever before we get up in front of a crowd to speak and have things to say. And so there are occasions when you can feel inadequate. Being at the graduations made me say one little other story I want to tell you before I really get off into a lesson. I hope it'll be a really great lesson for you today. But you know, back in your very early years, if you're like I am, my memory is sort of like little snapshots, and I might remember little snippets of things that happened, but I have always, you may have thought that I've just, maybe in my later years, like midlife crises became Hot Rod Bob, but that's really been my story all of my life. I grew up loving cars and trucks, and all. When I was a little kid, they always bought me those because that's what I wanted. And some of my earliest memories on our dairy farm of our families, why, I remember the diesel trucks coming. You could hear the old blowers that were on those old style motors. That probably won't mean a lot to everybody, but they just whined, real high-pitched whines as they shifted the gears. And they'd be coming down our driveway and going in and around to the cool barn, to where the milk had been separated, pasteurized, and that kind of thing. And they'd pump it off into the tanker trucks. And that was always exciting to me, getting to see those things come in. And I remember those little snippets like that. And I'll never forget the day that they came down with one of those polished stainless steel trailers. One of the first ones I had ever remember seeing, and it was just gleaming in the sun. It was bright, it was beautiful, and just so shiny. Well, it wasn't long before pretty soon the milk producers and sellers, you know, began to use that empty space on those things for advertising. And so those trucks went from being a totally gleamingly, shiny like chrome coming down. They'd have different things on them, maybe in terms of the kind of things the milk producers were selling. And so they may say homogenized, vitamin enriched, 2% butter fat, everybody needs milk. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And my uncles and my dad and all my folks that were dairy people, they used to like to tell a story, you know, one cow was standing next to another cow when the truck came in, and they saw all of those things on the truck as it left that it had been homogenized and improved with 2% butter fat, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. One cow turned to the other one and says, makes you sort of feel inadequate, doesn't it? Well, you know, there's nothing on there about a cow, so they weren't being uplifted by it. It was what all they'd done to improve it by. I want you to turn in your Bible. You may think, now, where is that preacher? He's gone off down south and lost his brain. Now, you come on over here to chapter 5 of the book of 1 John, and I want us to share together in a passage of Scripture and see if we don't make some of these things, some of these dots connect. Because if you're like I am, there are times when you feel inadequate in your place in life. But I want to instill in you before you leave today that in spite of the things that come along in your life, Brother Payne, George loves your sermon since he lost his mind, that how we get through the moments and to bring us into great joy in the kingdom of God. I want you to read along with me. I'd love to read, just preach from the whole chapter today, but I won't do that. You said amen. Right? Come down to verse 11. And look at what's happening here. You got it on the screen. And the testimony is this. That God has given us eternal life. Stop. Wait. Did you see that? Has God given us eternal life? Just say amen, okay, if you agree with that. God has given us eternal life? All right, I just check it. Bob didn't say that. Those are not my lines, okay? This is the Holy Spirit through John. And this life is in His Son. Is eternal life in Jesus? Amen? Okay. That wasn't a very good one. Is eternal life in Jesus? Okay. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Congregation, do you have eternal life? If you're in the Son, do you have eternal life? All right. I want that to be just branded, if we can, in your brain. So this, you see, is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to God's will, according to His will, if we ask anything according to His will, dip, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. Do we have confidence in knowing that God's listening to us? Okay. And it's a blessing for us to be able to understand that God has given unto us this great, great gift of eternal life. Sing with me. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Blessed assurance. Brethren, the gospel is good news. Amen? Let's don't turn good news into bad news. Let's don't let people get the wrong impression about what we're saying. Let's don't let anybody else steal our joy. You know, that only happens when you let them. Don't let them steal away your joy. Now, I know that it's because we're human and that it's easy for us sometimes to make a few mistakes. And sometimes our approach maybe has been more like a tightrope that's sort of stretched over, you know, the fires of hell as they're reaching up or leaping up toward us. But I want you to know today that God's purpose is not to make mankind tense. That's not what His purpose was. I'm not saying that God won't punish those who don't obey Him. But I'm saying God came with a message that was a message of good news. He came so that when we have something to say, we ought to be able to elevate the conversation of the people around us so that they would be encouraged to know. But sometimes that's regulated by how you are feeling about yourself. If somebody has made you feel inadequate, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to be like a Jersey cow or a Holstein that says, makes me feel inadequate? Or are you going to be someone that says, I understand what other folks might be saying, but I'm not letting them steal away my joy? You know why? Because I have the Son of God. And if I have the Son of God, I have life eternal. Hello? Okay, there we go. That's better. If I have the Son of God, I have life. I have eternal life. That is the greatest gift anyone could ever have. I should never be ashamed of that, and I ought not ever to shrink back from it. I don't want people to think that I come to worship here and that I go to Bible class just because someone said I ought to. I come because it's a great encouragement to me to study God's Word among other people. And I'm encouraged by what we learn together. I'm encouraged by what others have studied and share with me to help me to grow as a person. I come into this auditorium with the expectation of lifting up in praise the name of our Father and for having the opportunity for all of us here to be together in the name of our Father. Because worship is the greatest place to be. If this isn't the greatest place to be, I don't know why you'd be looking forward to heaven. Because that's what we're going to do in heaven, is praise the Lord. There won't be a racetrack there. They won't have a football field there. They won't be kicking the soccer ball there. We're going to praise God and be encompassed about by all of His goodness and His greatness because that's who we are. We are His children. I hope that we finally can get that message across to one another. I hope you didn't sing Blessed Assurance with your fingers crossed. You know, they do surveys almost every year at our Christian colleges. And without exception, every year, whenever they survey the incoming freshmen, which they love to do, just to get information from them, it's almost always the same story. About 12%, when they're asked this question, if God came today, or if Jesus came back today, would you go to heaven? About 12% say yes. About 13% say no. Well, that says at least some of them know what's happened. But what about all of that thing in the middle of that? They usually say, I hope so. Brethren, I hope we're not teaching a hope-so religion. I don't want to pass on to everybody a hope-so religion. That's a mistake. Let people know what you believe. You either believe it and understand it and know it and you share it, or you just are not there. I'm trying to encourage you today to be that kind of person. I don't think God is looking for a bunch of folks who are just hope-so kind of Christians. I don't think that's what He's wanting. And no wonder we always have trouble trying to fill slots for things to be done. We're so busy in our lives today that we don't even think about the greatest gift that we have. I think sometimes, brethren, I'm just going to say it the way I think. I think we're just too self-absorbed. We just cannot seem to cut loose from ourselves. And you know that Jesus very plainly teaches that you must deny yourself and pick up His cross and follow Him. I don't have to tell you this. Our young people, I think, are very seldom being taught or encouraged with blessed assurance from us. We need to encourage them. Do we want to preach guilt or do we want to preach grace? How many of you want to preach the grace of God? Isn't that why we're here? Without the grace of God, none of us would be anywhere. And that's what it takes for everyone. No matter what it is, no matter how large you think it is or how small you think it is, I want to try to encourage you to be the kind of person that's looking for assurance. I want you to know that the foundation of esteem is assurance. You've got to have assurance and esteem put together. No esteem, no assurance. You can't keep running somebody down. You've got to build them up somewhere along the line so they can have confidence in themselves. What's the first lesson your daddy taught about riding, or your mama about riding a horse? If you fall off a horse, you do what? You get on it. You get on it. You got to get back up on it. How come? Because if you don't, you'll never ride again. Isn't that right, Tommy? I mean, that's just real simple. You'll never ride again. You got to get back up on it. You got to keep doing it, building up some kind of esteem. You need to know that this is what the body is trying to help us to understand. This is what God wants us to do. This is what He's asking us to do. I'm inviting you to turn over now to the book of Galatians in your New Testament. I want you to read. I'm going to read it because sometimes in the quoting of it, we lose maybe the emphasis of what really is here. But if you go to chapter 4 and you begin at verse 4, it says very clearly, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons. I'm going to read that again. Because you are sons. See, if you're God's children, just like we read a while ago, if you're in the Son of God, if you have Christ, you have life, you have eternal life. If then, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, that would be a bond kind of servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ our Lord. That means you are one of His children. You ought to have assurance as you live this life. You ought to have self-esteem. Behold, what manner of love God has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Isn't that what it said in 1 John 3 and verse 1? And now are we the sons of God. That's not times later. Now are we the sons. It does not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know what it's going to be like. But we do know this, that when Christ comes, we will be like Him. That's why we have a blessed assurance. God hath made us to be somebody. We're to be the somebodies in His image. God is not the author of a gospel that condemns. He is the author of the gospel that saves. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever be, well, you know it. He, whosoever believeth in Him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. But God sent His Son not into the world, condemned the world, did He? That's what verse 17 says. But that the world through Him might be saved. My emphasis to you this morning is about being saved by a gospel that saves. When Paul's writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4 about Jesus, he says, who would have all men or mankind to be saved? The one who saves, teaching us, of course, to deny the ungodliness and the worldly lust, and that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. That's Titus 2, 11 and 12. While I was yet a sinner, Christ Jesus died for me. Romans 5 and verse 8. And as we spoke about having no condemnation last week from Romans chapter 8, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of life. Now, assurance is not arrogance. I'm not asking you to think of yourself as something you're not. I'm trying to point out to you that this assurance is found in the Scripture. It's not an arrogant kind of thing. Because he very plainly says, Paul does in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, he that thinks he stands, take heed, why? Otherwise you'll fall. Not in yourself, but in the power of God or Christ our Savior. I don't believe in arrogance. I don't believe in once saved, always saved. Any person can go to hell anytime they choose to. Just deny the Father. Just live against His will. That's a choice that people make. But if you're in Christ and you're serving Christ, then you are in the family of God, and believe in assurance. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access into this grace wherein we stand. That's Romans 5, 1 and 2. God loves us through Christ, and by grace sent Him to die for us. And our only permanent motivation, my friend, is to be the grace of God. It's not anything else. It's not what I do. You're not going to put your assurance in what you are able to perform. In fact, performance will stifle your joy. The more you know, the more you fear how little you know. Isn't that right, Tom? As we study the Word, we look in there and we say, my goodness, there we go. Well, there's something I didn't see before. How many other times has there been when I studied Jim and I didn't see it before? You see, it's not about performing. It's not about performance. It's about assurance. It's about being motivated by God's grace. It's about being motivated about what God has done for me and what He's done for everybody. We learned this morning from the book of Proverbs, Bobby, didn't we, that whenever we look at somebody else and we say, oh yeah, well I know why he's where he is. That's because he's a fool. He did the wrong things. That the Bible teaches that when we do that, we are not holding our Heavenly Father in the proper respect. That's the Father's child. And there, by the grace of God, would be me. My friend, we need to understand that it is God and His goodness and His love that gives us this assurance. We don't want to believe in performance. The more you do, the more you realize you haven't done. Isn't that right? Huh? You make that list up and you say, oh, I checked them all off. And somebody says, did you take out the trash? Oh, would you hush up? I left that off my list. It's not about performance. That's not assurance. There's always something else to do. That's the way God designed it. We are to be sacrifices. Everybody has always thought that was to give something up. We've even heard sermons about giving things up or paying something off or giving something more. Brethren, that is not what God is looking for. Don't bring one. Don't give one. Don't buy one. Be one. That's what it's about. Be a sacrifice. Assurance is simply understanding where you stand with God. I don't know why it is if we can know the questions or answer the questions of doctrine about so many different things, why we cannot be the kind of people who can assert that we are saved people. When I was teaching at Sunrise Christian School out in California, and they were junior high students, I asked them for a question one time. I said to them, when the Lord comes back, because we've been studying about the Lord coming back, I said, when the Lord comes back, I want you to write down on your paper, I want you to write down where you want to be. Most common answer was, I want to be in the church building praying. I wonder where they learned that. I want to be in the church building praying. Well, I had another fellow tell me, he said, it wouldn't be me. I wouldn't want to be at the church building. That's where I get a little nervous. I don't really know what he meant by that. I don't know because he was around preachers or elders or the sister or the brother. I don't know what he was talking about. But you see, the point's not where you are in a place. I don't want to be in the right place at the right time when I die. I want to be in Jesus when I die. And if you're here today, the blood of the Lamb is still waiting to save you if you have yet to come to that point or recognize that's where you need to be. The Bible says we are saved in hope, Romans 8, verse 24. Not hope so, but saved in hope. In Christ, you are saved, and that's good news. And the presence of Christ is your assurance. That's what God promises us. The presence of Christ is my certainty. In fact, the psalmist writes and says in Psalm 107, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Are you ready to say so? Are you one of the redeemed? If you're not, we invite you to come while we stand together and sing. Won't you please come?